This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Hey Tenderfoot listeners, I'm Liam Luxon, host of Status Untraced, a new podcast brought to you from the team behind Up and Vanished. It follows my investigation into the disappearance of Justin Alexander, a survivalist and world traveler whose life seemed like it was torn from the pages of an adventure novel. While some of Justin's friends and family believe he may have been murdered, it's not clear what actually happened. And a message he left behind just days before he vanished makes everything about his disappearance just strange. Check out this clip featuring one of Justin's friends and their recollection of their final conversation with him.
It was one thing that kind of made me feel weird about whenever he'd talk about his plans for India. And the more I've thought about it, especially over the years, it almost seemed like he was preparing for something because he wanted to be famous. He made that openly clear, like that was his end goal.
When you hear the message Justin left behind, when you hear about the remote and dangerous area where he went missing, when you learn about how the suspects and the police's efforts in this case all quietly started to fade away, you won't be able to stop wondering what happened. From Tenderfoot TV, Status Untraced is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts. Or subscribe to Tenderfoot Plus to binge the entire season ad-free. Learn more at tenderfootplus.com.
One of the names that keeps coming up has a criminal record. He's well known to police in different jurisdictions. And as you heard, everybody in town thinks he's the drug hookup. That's that. Does he have anything to do with this case? I have no idea, right? That's the frustrating part. Just because somebody in town is on everybody's radar, rumored to be some bad guy that might be involved with Crystal's disappearance, doesn't make it true. In fact, if it was so obvious and true, that person would already be in custody. Because the sheriff's department knows the name, and I suspect that they've checked it out every which way and have some suspicions on their own whether he's the right guy. I think he knows what's going on, and I think that some of his associates may even know more.
We certainly know who Catfish is. And I know that Catfish and his friend have been spoken to by detectives. So they shouldn't be surprised that their name's coming up. The real balance journalistically is what are the liabilities of reporting somebody's identity who may ultimately never be charged or directly be involved. I guess the one that comes to mind is the Richard Jewell case at Atlanta Olympics, the bombing, the security guard. He came to help. He had to be the guy. And everybody reported it. Can't take it back, right? Wasn't him. So we always balance here the need to do those kind of things. If you watched our initial investigation, we have a blurred mugshot, and he knows that's him. His mom probably knows that's him. His friends probably know that's him. So there's some, not public identity, but I think we let him know that we know. There he is. If they're just dealing, moving product, they don't want to make any waves. And violence creates waves. People call the police, they call 911, here comes the ambulance, they say who did this and what, and it can ruin a financial stream. So the players that we're talking about there, I don't think are dangerous every day, but I have no doubt if they're cornered that they
you know, how to get out of trouble.
From Tenderfoot TV in Atlanta, this is Up and Vanished. I'm your host, Payne Lindsay. I talked to a new source about catfish. We'll call this person Calvin. Calvin told me that after Crystal went missing, three people in Crestone seemed to change noticeably. Dreddy Bryan and two other men. We'll call them Landon and Jack. According to Calvin, these three individuals incurred psychological breakdowns shortly after her disappearance.
My knowledge is limited. I mean, because a lot of these people were my friends. The ones that, were involved, if you want to say that, or not involved. And really, what it really comes down to is, I mean, Brian. I mean, you got to start there. I mean, that's the way it is. Catfish had nothing to do with it on the end of, I believe that she was killed. Okay. I didn't believe her and Brian got into an argument. Brian killed her. And then they just posted the body. I'm not sure who they are, but I'm pretty much sure they talked it.
Landon. Jack.
And Brian. If you get those three, then you'll be able to figure it out.
Do you know what happened? Like, what the situation was?
I don't know. I know that what had happened is that Brian, the summer before, had wrecked her car. And then she had filed for civil suit. I think that what happened is that maybe Brandon and Brian had maybe raped her. Like, maybe drugged her and raped her. And then she tried to come back on them. So that's what I'm getting from the information that I have. And, I mean, I honestly thought it was catfish at first, but once I started talking to catfish, and I mean got to basically know catfish, it wasn't him at all. I mean, he may have. I mean, and I hate to say this, but he may have. Helping them like cover it up. But the only reason they did that is because he involved or they involved him, and I don't even think that's the case really. There's no really. What I saw is from a distance, because I'm a friend of everybody that was, I guess, probably involved, is I saw a complete psychological breakdown.
Landon.
Brian. And the paranoia of all three of them just went through the roof.
Landon.
Went from just being in standard meth psychosis to being, like, completely paranoid at all times, whether he was sober or not. Thinking that people were following him. I mean, Muir mentioned that they had found Crystal's body. He completely freaked out.
Jack.
He ended up getting committed. I mean, and then you look at Brian, and from what I've seen, and I know his ex-wife, and I know all the other girlfriends that he's been with, there is a violence in behind him, like a dark light. You know, it doesn't come out right at first, but when they're alone, it happens. Also, I would, just to help you out, I mean, I've talked to, you know what's funny is I've got can I call you back here in a little bit?
Yeah, sure, man.
Okay, because my friends just showed up. I'll be back in town here in about 30 minutes. Will that work for you?
Yeah, man, just give me a shout.
Yeah, okay, I'll have to help you, dude, because I mean, this is bullshit, man. I mean, you know, honestly, they place some value on human life where they shouldn't have been placed, you know what I'm saying?
They place a value on a human life where it shouldn't have been placed. About 2 months later.
I mean, it's rumored that she was blackmailing them, because they had raped her. They drugged her and raped her.
Landon.
He almost shot Catfish's hand off. I talked to people that were there. They said that they were arguing over Crystal, about what had happened. And that's when he shot his hand.
Landon.
I was staying over at my house one night, and he woke up, and he's like, I didn't mean to do it. That's what he said. I didn't mean to do it to her. And then I've heard Catfish several times. Catfish was like, I didn't think they'd kill her. I've heard him say that a couple times. I mean, just not general night terrors. He's actually said that twice. For one thing, he's very standoffish about the whole thing, which is another indication that maybe he had something to do with it. He's agoraphobic. I mean, he has a hard time dealing with people besides people he knows very well. He's only been that way since he got into a car accident about, I'd say, 15 years ago. He brings it up quite a bit. I mean, to the point to where, I mean, it's not... See, he's such an emotional human being that if he did commit an act like that, it would have devastating psychological effect on him. I mean, I'm not a trained psychiatrist or a psychologist or anything, but I'm just, from just my point of view, honestly, he didn't display any of it. But he does have regret there, which means that his regret is probably due to some involvement in some way, whether it be ex post facto, like taking care of the body after it was all said and done, or whether it be that he had something to do as far as like planning it or paying for it or something of that nature. Catfish's house was completely destroyed all the time. I wasn't there and I didn't see it, but right after the girl disappeared, that house was completely spotless. I mean, you could eat off the floor. Catfish has also been accused of drugging and raping other women. Catfish is not a stupid person. He's quite far from stupid. If he was going to plan anything, it would be to the T. I mean, they would dispose of the body in a way. And I'm thinking that they moved the body more than once, would be my guess. That they maybe three or four different times. And then finally they incinerated it, would be my guess. That's what I've heard. This is a small community, you know, and people talk. And it's funny because these guys go around talking about this. I guarantee it. Otherwise, why would you hear these things? They're basically dosing each other with LSD to basically drive each other insane. If you want to get dosed, that means you're going to drop some acid. But, I mean, if you're getting dosed, that means somebody's trying to either kill you, drive you insane, or, you know, basically put you to a point where your mental capabilities can't handle the amount of drugs that you're on. There's several people that have been dosed around here through methamphetamine specifically. And, I mean, they walk around fighting shadow people for the rest of their lives. You know, shit like that. It's not very nice. I mean, you gotta watch what you do around here. A lot of people are scared of Catfish. I'm scared of Catfish a little bit. His family has power. They have major, major power. I'm willing to work with, man, I'm willing to work with CBI. You know what? Screw these guys. I mean, I know that they all had something to do with it. And you know what? I mean, honestly, they really haven't turned out to be that great of friends anyway. You know, something needs to be done. And if they are guilty, then justice should prevail. This is murder we're talking about here. This is murder. Murder and rape.
I'm going to Mexico City, and it's going to be an awesome vacation. All thanks to Viator. If you're looking to book your next trip, Viator is your one-stop shop. They've done all the research for you, from classes and workshops, food and drinks, outdoor activities, sightseeing, cruises, tours, museums. Everything you want to do on a vacation is all right here at your fingertips by using Viator. Viator is the solution you need to ensure you plan the perfect trip and overall travel experience. Viator is a tool you can use to plan and book travel experiences all around the world. The Viator app and website make it easy to explore 300,000 plus travel experiences, so you can discover what's out there, no matter where you're traveling or what you're interested in. Viator can help you plan better travel experiences. 300,000 plus travel experiences to choose from means that you can plan something everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Enjoy real traveler reviews to get insider information from people who've already been there on the same experiences you're choosing. And if plans changed, there's free cancellation. Plus, Viator offers 24/7 customer service, so you know that you'll get the support you need at any hour if things aren't going as planned. So download the Viator app now and use the code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find the perfect travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
At this point, I'd heard a lot of insane and frankly scary stories, all revolving around this group of so-called friends. Some of these things I'd heard before. That Catfish never cleaned his house, and then one day, he suddenly did a full sweep, and also that Catfish's family had a fairly prestigious background. I talked to Landon to get his perspective. Things didn't seem to look good for this group of friends, if that's even what they are.
Yeah, I'd be happy to talk with you about anything you want to know about, and I do know, you know, the ins and outs of Creston pretty much, but I have some exciting stuff. Are you going to be in the area? I mean, it's not necessarily directly related to your story. I honestly was not present for anything that went down with that young lady, and I don't know anything but that, but I was around enough people. I happened to meet the young lady probably a matter of 2 weeks before she went missing for a 5 or 10 minute conversation. So that's the extent of my relationship with her and my knowledge of her. I don't know her well. I met her in passing, like I said, briefly before she vanished. But I do know some of the characters that are allocated in this. And, you know, it is factually, I don't know anything. I didn't see anything. I don't have any, you know, true, I guess, solid information that would help anybody in the resolution of this whole, you know, terrible, you know, missing. I was quite certain it was, you know, foul play, and there's a whole dynamic of manipulation and such. But go ahead and you ask your questions you want to. I would like to meet with you in person if you're in the area.
What do you think happened to Crystal?
You know, there was an element of manipulation, of blackmail going on with her and that character with colorful, you know, colorful name, who I happened to be, you know, friends with for a few years. You know, I lived in the same neighborhood he did when my fiance and I were breaking up, and it was kind of like, you know, a hard time for me. So I was made friends with him, and we hung out. You know, we didn't get along, let's say. And later he went out for like back damage on my world, and he happened to be connected to, you know, some big strings and such, you know, on that phrase, and it hasn't worked because I have God, like, completely on my side, and it's all a complete illusion anyway. All those little frequencies of vibration and existing are illusions, and we're transcending the planet. We're ascending the planet right now. Actually, this event sparks community consciousness of love in every present moment is coming, and that's going to be the only vibration left. Anyway. So I'm not worried. I have no fears around me yet. I'll tell anybody anything they want to know. I never had any fear or any guilt, you know, but this story didn't, you know, kind of frame me. He put a lot of the information out there that I was involved somehow because I happened to be, you know, sort of going over to his house a decent amount because we were still having some sort of, you know, friendship or conflict at that time. So he went after, you know, I think he sent thousands of emails to those type of effects. Slander, kind of computer program to make it look like Michael's number was texting somebody else's phone number, you know, and like mimic the numbers and, you know, to my girlfriend and my number and a conversation. Screenshot that shit. All that type of shit. And it really did hurt my reputation because people who I, you know, we came to love and trust me had to like be like, well, what, you know, there's got to be an inkling of truth to all this. You know, it doesn't just come out of that, you know, rumors, they start somehow, somewhere. And there's always some sort of origin of truth, you know, that's what we're programmed to believe in, you know. Like, things are good. How do you feel about your life these days and everything? How is your personal, do you feel any, you know, recent changes or recent, like, energies that seem different or any kind of like vibrancy or synchronicities maybe in your life. They're like ding ding, here and there, and numbers that are coming at the right times and crazy, like, small world shit, or no?
I mean, I don't really know. It's hard to say. I haven't figured out life entirely yet, but, I look at it as one big learning experience.
Oh, you will soon, bro, my brother. You will soon become in full awareness and knowledge of what's happening on the planet. It's big, bro. Big. Like, Lionsgate portal is opening. Like, of course, it could be opening now, but by 2018, there's a Lionsgate portal. This shit, dude, is, like, fucking crazy. It sounds like I'm nuts, right?
Landon's thoughts were a little far out there, but as far as Crystal's story, he gave more convincing details than I'd gotten from anyone else so far.
I mean, was I there for anything of that nature? No, I wasn't. I went over to the person's house, Catfish's house, and she was there, and at the time I was like, I'd like to take out his trash for him and stuff like that, kind of do some work for him like that, because he just couldn't do any of that. He was just out of control. But and she was there, and I met her, and she was like trying to help me take out trash, and she was like got a pretty positive vibe off her. And I also, it was just plain as obvious to me that there was an element of manipulation in the dynamic between the two of them, I didn't know this. She was seeming nice. She tried to help me, like, trash off the deck, and I was like appreciative of that, although I just kind of like put two bags together and then left, because I was like, I'll be back later when it's not weird. And that's the next day I hit him up on a text and I said, what's up, man, what are you up to, blah blah. I got no response. Didn't go over to see what he was doing. Didn't really give a fuck, and probably didn't talk to him for a week after that, even, or maybe a week or two. I don't even remember. He's so crazy, and he like, I had to go even crazier on purpose, I think, so that his credibility would be in question. I feel like I was going through so much that I didn't have any capacity to, like, be sticking out trying to do investigative work. And especially, in my situation, it would have been extremely dangerous, too. Still, a lot of pussies would consider what I'm doing extremely dangerous. I went through all sorts of shit. Dude poisoned me with LSD, bring me a bottle of whiskey that had 200 hits of acid in it, hired kids to steal from me, hired people to beat me up. Put libel, slander, and all sorts of fucking crazy stories up there about me.
Jack,
I believe, was there at the time of whatever went down. He subsequently got, dosed with a lot of drugs of some nature, and he went off on, what they call, this guy Cavish used to follow the Grateful Dead for a long time. And he came up with this thing where I don't know any of this for sure, bro. The rumor mill has generated so many rumors. I'm in 3/4 of them, and I didn't have anything to do with it. Don't know what happened. Nobody told me, because I'm not in that little clique or that club. They don't speak. They shouldn't. And there was a part of my depression that took me to some places where I was just like in survival mode, hibernation mode, and I was just kind of like, my reputation was getting stomped on, so people that used to just wave by this, wave in this little community, friendly, would start to get these looks of doubt. I just felt it creep in insidiously. I mean, a small town of, 500 to 1,000 to 200 people in the peak season, your reputation is everything, man. And if even somebody just kind of promotes a story that catches a little bit of wind somehow, everybody wants to, and that's the nature of, like, programming and people, and it doesn't even matter, exactly what you're doing, as long as you're doing anything with any sort of, like, inkling or inference or, the mere vague appearance of impropriety. All the stories become true in all those people's minds, bro? I was unable to find employment, people were chasing me around, harassing me, people were trying to beat me up, steal my computers and phones, hack my Facebook. I lost my email of 10 years I had after college and everything. I could never get it back. They fucking tricked it. They attacked me with everything they had. They were plotting against my fucking demise. They were up all night, putting all sorts of energy into my destruction, And they still couldn't touch the light. Because I'm the one good guy hanging around all these pieces of shit, right? And they're like, fuck him, he's not like us. We hate him. Let's set him up for whatever I can. Maybe I was you know, being a little bit of a poor judgment of character when I decided who to hang out with and who to trust because of my own depression and my own self-destructive nature, you know? And so I was basically trying to live by myself with my two dogs in my truck and cut fireworks for a living. When I gave all that, I told the sea god they could have all that, look for it, figure out whatever they could from it. You know, I told them that, gave them full permission. And they never got back to me. I don't know what the fuck happened with that. You know, there was one picture. I'm going to tell you, I really don't want to dwell on this stuff. Like, the last thing I'm going to try to talk about these days, because I'm excited to take the joy, and this is all, like, this all might as well have never happened, bro. In the past, not only that, but it was an illusion, all this fear, and all this. Yes, we're all reincarnating all the time, too, man. And, like, if you're in the love train, you're going to ascend with the rest of the planet. If you're not, then you're out, you know, kind of thing. And, most of us are coming along, I think. You know, there's 144,000 of us on the planet that have been, you know, that are coming together to unify that vibration. 144,000 healers, masters, and warriors have reincarnated tons of times. I'm living with people that were, you know, famous people throughout history that are reincarnating and coming back as the masters, forming the first contact team for this fucking ascension. It's fucking out there. I don't want to talk about this other crap. I will.
While I was talking to Landon, someone else got on the phone. I still don't know who she was.
I love you with all my heart. Hi, Payne.
Hey, how you doing?
Wonderful. How are you, love?
I'm doing great.
Oh, God.
Going down there, he's going to be a
mother. Oh, yeah. Payne, come and meet your creator. She's amazingly beautiful, full of wisdom. Love in every moment.
Yeah, buddy. You gotta come down and pick it up. There's a story right there, man. Right, or maybe not.
The masters are coming maybe. Home, Payne, and you are one of them.
Maybe you'll see both stories, but, you know, I don't know.
He's one of them.
What if your partner developed 21 new identities? Or you discovered that your friend who helped you through the darkest times was actually a conniving con artist? Or what if you began seeing demons everywhere, inhabiting people around you, including your son? What would you do? I'm Whit Misseldine, the creator of This Is Actually Happening, a podcast that brings you extraordinary true stories of life-changing events told by the people who lived them. In our newest season, you'll hear even more intimate first-person accounts of how regular people have overcome remarkable circumstances, like the man who went to jail for 17 years for accidentally shooting the person who tried to save his life, to a close friend of the infamous scam artist, Amanda Riley. These haunting accounts sound like Hollywood movies, but I assure you, this is actually happening. Follow This Is Actually Happening on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. And you can listen to This Is Actually Happening ad-free on Wondery Plus.
Shortly after Crystal went missing, an anonymous person had a phone call with Dreddy Bryan. They recorded this call and shared it with me. And I'd like to share it with you now, because the story seems to get a little muddled.
I know it's not like her for sure. The last time I actually saw her was, Jesus, a little over a month ago. But I think just like 2.5 weeks ago, remember, at the last drum circle, I think she was there. I could have swore I heard her singing. And somebody else said that they thought. So, but the last time I talked to her, it was the day after the full moon before last. It was the day after that. And she said, and she came in, she called me on the street. She was up in her apartment there. She's like, hey, Brian, you know, I think Catfish, like, put some fucked up shit on Facebook about you. You know what I mean? Because, like, we had an argument and got, I did some work in the house and he didn't pay me for it. And I'm just like, okay, we had a beep. But she's like, you know, I was over there and she told me, she said she didn't remember, but she said she thought that he might have, that he might have drugged her or something, you know? And she helped him clean his house too. And she's like, oh, I didn't pay me. But that was the last conversation I had with her, but I could have sworn she had the last drum circle.
Again, another person swearing they saw Crystal at the July drum circle.
I was in the zone, you know, like I was drumming for 6 hours straight, drinking and smoking. You know, I like don't remember a whole lot about anything except the drumming, but I could have swore I heard her voice. And that's, you know, that's like the last, geez, it's been, I guess the last drum circle was 2.5 weeks ago, and before that it was so like 6 weeks ago. The last full moon's what was like a couple weeks ago. So I guess the one before that would have been 6 weeks ago, I guess. Wow, it's been a long time. Damn. Be sure, I could have swore I kept hearing, you know, that voice of hers, like, I could have swore she was like singing and chanting, like, you know, the vocal bowl thing. She was like, the only places we hung out were at mutual friends' houses and at her house. You know what I mean? We went to Alamosa once, us as friends, and we saw a movie. But like, yeah, like, as far as like what spots she would go to here, I really don't know, because like, we're like kind of becoming friends again after we had a bit of a turbulent past, you know?
Meaning wrecking her car.
We were like super close, you know? But so like, I wouldn't know like her specific spots would be, you know what I mean? There were people that were concerned about her, for sure. You know, she did go over to Catfish just for like, well, you know, we talked about that for like, for whatever, it was 4 or 5 days, and then Nate had to pick her up like 3 in the morning or whatever. And then she did go to Catfish just after that.
How did he know that Crystal went there?
I talked to Catfish. When this shit happened, dude, I went over there. I was just over there a few days ago, you know, talking to him. And, you know, I don't know. He's a pretty transparent guy. He's a cancer, you know. He's not super good at hiding his emotions. And I didn't, like, he didn't seem nervous or lying or, you know. And I mean, if he was, then, like, he's really, what's the word for that? I mean, he must be a true sociopath. But I really didn't get the vibe, like, that's what it was, but obviously something happened, you know. Yeah, you know, I brought her here for the first time like 2.5 years ago when we were living in Gunnison, you know? And I know all her friends, you know what I mean? Like, she was some pretty righteous people. I could pretty safely say that out of that whole group of friends, you know, she was probably partying the hardest of time. Like, it seemed like to me.
The same anonymous source received a message from Catfish. I was shared the messages and was able to validate their authenticity. The anonymous source says this: "Have you heard any rumors? What do you think happened to her?" Catfish says, "I heard so many rumors, it is interfering. Brian..." That's all I can say at the moment, other than I will do anything to help. The source says, "Oh wow. Why do you say Brian..." Catfish says, "He told me he did it. I told the CBI, and he showed his confession on Messenger."
Up and Vanished is an investigative podcast told weekly, produced for Tenderfoot TV by Payne Lindsay, Mike Rooney, and me, Meredith Stedman, with new episodes every Monday. Executive producers Payne Lindsay and Donald Albright. Additional production by Resonate Recordings, as well as Mason Lindsay, Rob Ricotta, and Christina Dana. Our intern is Hallie Bidal. Original score by Makeup and Vanity Set. Our theme song is Ophelia, performed by Ezra Rose. Our cover art is by Trevor Eiler. Special thanks to the team at Cadence 13. Visit us on social media via @UpAndVanished, or you can visit our website, upandvanished.com. Or you can join in on our discussion board. If you're enjoying Up and Vanished, tell a friend, family member, or coworker about it. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. Thanks for listening.
Why, hello there. Welcome to Radio Rental. If you're new around here and haven't heard, I'm your host, Terry Carnation. On Radio Rental, we play tapes of the scariest true stories you've ever heard. That's right, we've got real scary stories told by the people that actually experienced them. We've got stories of paranormal peril, near-death experiences, stitches in the space-time continuum, and more. Stories like these.
This person was looking for me. They start to take these long strides towards me. I was freaking out.
We started seeing it everywhere we went. It would be sitting there watching us.
I've never ran so fast in my life.
And it's all set right here at Radio Rental, the video rental shop of your worst nightmares. Radio Rental is available now. Listen 1 week early and ad-free on Tenderfoot Plus.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.